Hi everybody, hope you're having a great day so far. Before you start today's episode, I just want to give you a small reminder to hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you're listening to today's podcast. And also, if you have the time, if you could feel free to leave us a review, that would help us out tremendously. There are some weird podcast algorithms that are out there. Too scientific for me to comprehend or explain, but it would help us out tremendously if you did that. Thanks for listening to the Northern Nerd Podcast. Just want to give you this small reminder that if you're planning on traveling this summer, to make Hayward one of your destinations and the Northwoods of Wisconsin one of your destinations. There's plenty of things to do here, like we've previously talked about on the show, from different outdoor activities to different places that you'll eat at and different local small businesses that you'll shop at. There's plenty to do and explore here in the Northwoods of Wisconsin. So we hope you visit us sometime soon. And if you do, be sure to hit us up on either our Facebook page or our Instagram page at the Northern Nerd. And we'd be happy to maybe give you a little tour of the area and show you around and hang out for a bit. So we appreciate you listening to the show. Now let's get to it. Well, the After Hours crew got together once again for a Midsummer's episode, and we had a special guest comedian, Mary Mack, who's been on a multitude of different things, including The Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon, The Conan Show, Adult Swim, Aqua Teen Hunger Force. She's also been on NBC's Last Comic Standing, Last Call with Carson Daly, Comedy Central's Live at Gotham, and she also voices a character on a Hulu show called Solar Opposites. We loved having her around the show to pick her brain a little bit about what it's like to be a comedian, how she got her start, and then also we like to discuss the thing that she's bringing to the Northwoods. She already has one installment of the show, the North Star Comedy Hour, and she's doing her second one here on July 29th at the Park Center, and then also a show on August 19th at the Park Center as well. So you're able to get your tickets at theparktheaterproject.com. MaryMackComedy.com, or you can purchase them at various businesses here in the Northwoods. You can purchase them at the Whistle Punk or at Out of the Woods Winery or Redberry Books and Cable. Mary was a great guest to have on the show, and without further ado, let's get to it. Well, the band is back together here on summer break. We also have a special guest today. Mary Mack has joined our podcast here at the Whistle Punk for our After Hours show. She's got the North Star Comedy Hour coming up here at the Park Center on July 29th at 7:30. And we're excited to have her on the show and just get to know her a little bit better. And welcome on the show.
Thanks, Dalton. I forgot I met your mom.
Yeah.
I did. I met her at Bloodhook. She was so nice.
Stacy.
Oh, yeah.
Can't be talking about Stacy.
Yes, she was so nice.
She's a witch of a human.
What? No, hey, that's my mom.
I love Stacy.
She's going to be outside the window in 5 minutes.
I love Stacy. I'm sorry.
I met her at the Park Center before Blood, or was it Bloodhook or some other show I was at? I've been going to a lot of shows there.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, you must be a good person if she's your mom. So thank you for having me on. I totally interrupted probably.
Oh, no, you're all good. My mom loves a shout out. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Does your mom listen?
Does she listen to the podcast?
Yeah.
Probably yes.
So I should probably apologize.
No. She knows you well enough, James.
She knows it's all love.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh man.
She's like everyone's mom in the community, I feel like. She takes on that mother role.
Do you say this show is out of Stone Lake or is it out of Hayward? How do you say? What's your call frequency?
Northern Nerd brand is kind of
Northern Nerd.
Like, yeah, I'd say it's Surrey County area, but more often than not out of Hayward, but the After Hours stuff is all out here at the Whistle Punk, so.
Whistle Punk is the home base
for the Northern
Nerd.
For the after hours. This specific
podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I am here a lot. It could be the home base.
right.
Because Dalton does podcasts with all kinds of people. This is just us three. We call it the After Hours because normally it's just us hanging out, drinking some beers.
Okay, cool.
Not as formal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am the only one with special coffee right now, but I have
a root beer. I have a Sprecher's.
Oh, there we go. So. Yep. Cool.
And James and I are absolutely not judging.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe judging a little.
Yeah.
On the couch.
You don't seem like the type that needs coffee.
Oh, but. Yeah, I was born tired, James.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say that right now. I had three herniated discs by the time I was 19, and I was walking like a 90-year-old. So,
were you like landscaper or farmer or
runner.
Runner.
Got it from running.
Oh.
But also, I did try to do landscaping as a young child and lifted way too much rock.
And that's why you got in. That's why you got into comedy and music. You're like, no landscaping for me.
Too much lifting.
That'll make you go to school and get move.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I'm going to shut up until you're
ready. Oh, no, you're all good. This is great.
Yeah, there's really no fun.
Yeah. So how did you first get your start in comedy? Like, what inspired you to pursue comedy?
Well, you know, when I was a little kid, I had seen Louis Anderson and a VHS of his, because my brother-in-law brought it over. My siblings are much older than me, and then I had seen Bill Cosby on some VHS tape, and then Star Search was a thing when I was a little kid, and Ellen DeGeneres was on there, and I thought, gosh, yeah, she's wow. real funny. And I loved Saturday Night Live, like most kids. And I remember she was just starting out when I was like, I think I was like sixth grade, and I wrote Ellen DeGeneres' name on my bulletin board and stuck it in the bulletin board because I thought, I bet she's going to be famous someday. She's so good. And I just wanted to remember her name as like an 11-year-old, you know?
Yeah.
And, wow. And man, I should have been a talent scout when I was 11.
I was going to say, yeah. Yeah. You called your shot there.
Yeah. So
it's crazy because I think a lot of people don't associate Ellen with stand-up because of the, like, the show. Yeah. Like, I think younger people, at least, you know, like, and if you look back, sure. she was, like, groundbreaking and, like,
oh,
killer.
Oh, she was fantastic. Yeah.
So kind of a...
Yeah, it was amazing. And then I liked, I think it was on the tail end, the Newhart show was Bob Newhart running a hotel, and I always thought he was the funniest person. So the very first and one of the only real comedy albums I've listened to was Bob Newhart was the first one I bought, and the second one I bought was Stephen Wright, I Have a Pony, or else I Still Have a Pony.
Yeah.
But I didn't know I was going to do comedy. I didn't even know it was a real job. I just thought Ellen DeGeneres would be famous, but also have some other sort of job. Because I didn't know, like, I grew up, like, here, you know, right. in the woods. And I thought, well, the jobs you can have are teaching or mechanic or, you know, there's limited. So I went into music and with the hopes of, like, being, you know, a professional player in some manner, whether it's like teaching a studio, teaching lessons. And I really always loved doing polka gigs for the Rotary. And I thought, well, that's like teaching and fun things.
Yeah. Getting to blend both.
So like I went into that, and then I went to graduate school for music, and I thought, well, I really miss polka, and we started a polka band in Nashville because my roommate was from Wisconsin, but we could never, at that time, well, it still isn't that big of a deal, but they have way more beer gardens now, and they are more familiar with polka, but way back when, in the early 2000s, they didn't have much for polka at all, and so the other students we'd get to be in our polka band were like, they just didn't know how it went. We were so bad, and I would always have to stall for time talking at the gigs.
Yeah.
Because they'd be like, well, what's that song? I'm like, you know that song.
Polka, polka,
and,
polka.
And, you know, I'd have music for them, and I'd write out all the music by hand. I'd tell stories to stall for time while they're, like, either fighting amongst themselves or looking for music to play it. And then pretty soon people said, oh, we like the talking better than the songs, or better than the, and that's really bad for a band to hear that.
They're like, in between your songs, that was really good.
Yeah, you know, the music part, not so much, but we're really into
totally.
The
yeah. Yeah, like that part where you're not playing is really great. My roommate, like, we kind of had some people flake out on us and not show up for gigs, so we had to dismember the band. Dismember, is that what we disbanded? We disbanded. And dismember. Yeah, nobody lost any.
Case.
Yeah.
Nobody lost any.
There's a body somewhere.
Nobody lost limbs. But it was like she just signed me up for these weird open mics on a dare, but she wouldn't tell me they were comedy or what they were. And I she'd always be like, prepare a story and make sure it's 5 minutes long. And then I'd be like, okay. It was just a fun game we played instead of doing our polka gigs. And one time I prepared a story, and I also played my clarinet in the story, and it was not storytelling night, and it was not comedy night. It was like African-American poetry night at the Kijiji Coffee Shop on D.B. Todd Boulevard in Nashville. And the people listened to me, and I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And they thought I was serious. So at first, my first few years, I just was a really deadpan, because I was like, I just stuck with being serious in case they thought I was just being serious.
Right.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to play it safe here.
Yeah, yeah. And they listened to me, and I couldn't believe it. And then even the first many, many times, nobody even laughed, and I loved it because I was teaching band too at the time. And just the silence of being on stage with just silence was more addicting to me than laughter. Because laughter might have made me uncomfortable, but just the audience just not doing, just listening, I couldn't believe it. And I got addicted to just them not talking and just listening.
Do you think that was it? Because like you didn't feel the stakes in your head to get the laughter, that you were more calm, and it was more therapeutic, so you probably seem more natural and confident, even though you were like,
maybe I didn't know they were supposed to
because you weren't you weren't like treating it like I'm a comedian. You're like, I'm just doing open mics and kind of like variety stuff or whatever you want
to
call it,
doing what my roommate signed me up to do. I don't really know what happened.
Like your first agent. You think it was like a help that you had like that foundation, and then you're like, once you had already been on stage, so you're a little more comfortable.
Yes, but I remember I would always be really nervous because. Yeah.
Does it ever go away? There's some things I do get nervous for.
So like if you're rusty, like I'm not doing a lot of shows. I'm doing mostly producing this summer.
Yeah.
So that makes me nervous, but you know, then I always make sure to find an open mic or stage time to get that out and then do the real show. But I don't know, when you're on stage now it goes away. The nerves now are just for like if you are think you might be a little rusty, but then when you're on stage it's like gone. But when I first started, I used to wear a lapel mic to record my sets. Because there wasn't any kind of good.
Yeah.
20 years ago, there was no decent audio recorder on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wore this lapel mic plugged into a little pack in my purse. and you could hear my heart beating in the lapel mic.
Oh, wow.
That's how nervous I would be for it. But I still kept doing it for some horrible reason. But you know what else, too? Teaching puts you... teaching is like the greatest prep. Because you're on over 8 hours a day. You're on stage and you're on. You can't, right. There's no off switch. You can't just be like, I'm checking out kids. You're always engaged.
Sometimes you wish you could, but.
Yeah.
Can you relate to that, Dalton?
I'm a second grade teacher, so yeah, I totally feel that.
So like you can never check out. You always have to be present in the moment, and you're doing it. You're just, there's no, you're acting all day.
Yeah.
Because you don't get to. Tell your second graders, I had a hard night last night, kids.
Yep.
My wife and I had a fight, and I really just don't feel like being here.
Yeah.
And you can't do that to kids.
No.
You're always got to be inspirational and happy, and
you're always kind of performing.
You're always performing, yeah. No matter what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta suck it up and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're the one constant in your students' lives. Is like, oh, I can count on this person being here every day and like checking in on how I'm doing, or and to teach me too. So
yep. You're right. Especially it seems like now it just seems like I was when I taught, that was a long time ago, but I swear I was the only one checking in on how much sleep these kids were getting.
Mm-hmm.
If any parents are listening, please make sure your child is getting sleep, because these kids are doing too many sports and too many dance classes, and they were going to bed at midnight and getting up at 5 little kids need 10 hours of sleep. My mom made us go to bed at 8.
Yeah.
And then I'd try to read under the covers and she'd come in and yell at us. So
she was on to you.
Yeah, totally. Yep. They weren't getting enough sleep.
First
yeah.
rec. Sleep.
Sleep. Recommended.
Yeah,
I don't get enough sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think a lot of people probably do. And especially not right now in the middle of the summer.
Oh,
here,
no.
Working in like,
working,
you know,
working.
Both you and I are in like the industry, in the beer industry. Hospitality
yeah.
industry,
yeah.
which is like right now is full gas pedal. Yeah.
Losing,
like today was the,
I told
Mary that today was my first, you know, day off in a while. And I got out and enjoyed some sunshine and then just kind of straight up passed out at my house for a slight nap, which you said you've got one nap.
Yeah.
You've had one lifelong nap or no, that's wrong.
Yeah.
One
oh, my life. Oh, my. I haven't taken my lifelong nap yet, Ian. I'm
zombie Mary Mac
like
right now.
Before I take my lifelong nap.
I promise it's not foreshadowing. We don't have anything ominous in store.
No.
But yeah, it's like this time of year, you just kind of go.
Yeah.
The days are long, and there's this stuff going on because other parts of the year, there's not that much going on, so you kind of
everybody tries to pack it in the summer.
That would be the craziest podcast where you have guests on and then you just kill them afterwards.
Oh my gosh.
It's like a long nap.
or like throughout the episode, like,
and they're like
just
when
like
are they gonna figure
just
out
go silent. It's like,
but it's like a small podcast, so like there's only like it's not a lot of people listening, so it's like cold cases, and then one day it's like,
I mean, with the way the true crime podcast like fascination is in this country, I'm sure it would just go wild.
I just watched a terrible show where they were involved in a murder
is
and they're
the
true crime. It was on Kaylee
Cuoco. Yeah, Kaylee Cuoco.
Yeah,
we've been watching it too, and we stopped. We stopped watching it because it was.
Oh, this is a non-rec?
Yeah, non-rec.
It's a non-rec.
Yeah.
It's a non-rec.
Yeah.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think okay means
rec.
It's a non-rec.
Yeah.
Like with all the content.
Oh, yeah, we don't rec.
With all the content that's out there, I think something has to stand out like to such a high degree in order to, like, you know, because everyone, how many shows does somebody like, oh, you should really watch this show? You should really
too
watch
many.
The show. And you're just like, I mean, it's probably really good, but, you know, sometimes you see one and you go, you know, actually. Maybe it's not.
That's a watch in silence and never tell anyone you watched it and never, like, just forget about it. So, like, I just thought of it because it was like that. So
we saw it too,
You just take it in. You're like, I'm going to keep this to me.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of shows and then I've just blanked them out completely. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I watched that. And I totally never talked about it, never watched it again.
Yeah. Just kind of just push that down.
Can we ask how the Solar Opposites came about and what the process and the whole
Yeah, because that's
story?
Like a thing.
Yeah, that's
like
a,
so. I have to go to San Diego next week for it. If I don't, apparently I'm going on strike. I don't know why. For sake, I'm hoping it's over streaming royalties.
Are you doing
that would
like San Diego like Comic Con? Like
So this will be our third panel for it. So we did 2019 and then nothing happened. 2020, 2021, and then we did 2022, and now we'll do 2023. And we lost Justin Roiland, the guy who like created our show, because. Mm-hmm.
He did Rick and Morty.
Yes, he also made Rick and Morty, and I do some video games for him too. And he's like so nice. And I guess I don't know what happened. I didn't read about it, but he was inappropriate. But the court case was thrown out, and there was no settlement. So it's. I don't really know what happened there. I feel really bad because he is one of the nicest persons I've ever worked with in any business. And so I feel really bad about that. And I can't comment on it because I wasn't there and I don't know what happened, but.
Yeah.
Did you audition?
Yes, I did audition.
They saw you and
I auditioned. Well, okay, I'll go back. First, I want to tell you this. So, there's going to be a replacement for him. And his replacement, so I don't know any people on American television.
Yeah.
It did come out, but they just didn't tell who it was.
Okay.
There's a British guy, and I only know British television. And this guy is in one of my favorite shows. So now I'm like,
Rex.
Getting nervous to sit by him at the Comic-Con panel. Yeah. And I told the producer, I'm like, you better put two people between us because I love that show and I'm going to totally freaking geek out about it.
Yeah.
His name is Dan Steele. Huh, what a name.
Yeah.
So he's in Downton Abbey.
Oh, okay.
And I love PBS. He plays the one, the blonde Crowley son. Married to Mary, the younger daughter, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I love British trash television so yeah. much.
That's your weak spot, or
can we call, can I we love. Call? Are you officially calling Downton Abbey British trash television?
It's yeah. so well.
I love it.
It's a soap opera, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it's a soap opera like with British, better yeah. than movie quality. Like it, the yeah. the art direction is so amazing. So what they did,
right,
they took a soap
period,
opera
yeah.
and made it.
It's like
artistically
how
amazing.
Yellowstone's American trash soap opera, like British trash soap opera.
But like high high art trash? Like,
yeah.
I mean, but it kind of is. Like, well, at least production value.
They're like Kevin Costner's like, in it. But it's also it's a soap opera.
Right.
So it,
right.
a little bit of it's trashy.
Yeah.
The plot lines are insane.
Yeah.
Like, but
right. Yeah, so that's happening, and I'm like, now I got a little bit of butterflies, because I'm like, oh my gosh, because I don't even, there's tons of U.S. actors walking around there, and I don't know any of them, but I know this guy, and now I'm like, just don't talk next to him,
right.
Just don't say anything, so if we don't end up boycotting Comic-Con for SAG, AFTRA, then I'll get to meet him. So,
oh, okay.
As of now, you're flying out there, you said, next week?
Yep, I'm going out. I'm cramming in a show at a club, too. I'm flying. So Disney flies me, so I don't have to take Xanax to get on the plane because they put me in first class, so I'll just immediately start drinking. No, I just immediately start drinking because I hate flying so much.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So,
me too.
Yeah, I can't handle it. And so I'm like, all right, save me a trip to the doctor. And and then I forgot where. So then I'm doing I was going to do my own show at a venue called Mic Drop San Diego on Thursday night.
Okay.
But then I thought, oh, that's not good because I might not be there. If we boycott it, I'm not going to spend $1,500 to fly myself there and then lose $1,500.
Yeah.
Because there's the venue is teeny tiny. And so then what is also cool is that my friend Jackie Cation, have you listened to her podcast, The Dork Forest?
Mm-hmm.
She's been doing it for years and years. It's fantastic. She has another one called The Jackie and Lori Show with Lori Kilmartin. They talk comedy shop. But so Jackie's podcast, I just am going to do a set before her podcast. And you know what? Some of my favorite people and my friends are also doing it. So it'll be Jackie Cation, who's wonderful, me, Maria Bamford from Duluth, who lives, you know, been on so many shows, and then Aparna Nancharla, who is one of my friends from stand-up comedy. And it's like, if I could put a show together of all who I'd want to be on a show with, it would be exactly those four women. So if people...
And that's happening either way without the Comic-Con? So
only if I fly there, but Jackie's show will be going on. Mic Drop San Diego.
I think you got to go.
7 p.m.
Because what if Dan Steele comes? You got to see the man.
No, stop it.
You
gotta
do it.
I don't know. I can't even think of Dan Steele being in the
poking.
Audience.
You got to DM him and be like, hey, you should come by the podcast. Right. We're doing like a live taping at the...
I've never fangirled out ever. I'm like, oh my God, I'm such a dork now. It's British
Are
people.
You Googling Dan Steele?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm pretty sure I know.
His voice into the mic.
It's the perfect accent.
So, I mean, it's just... interesting, and to make him say all these crass things, because the Solar Opposites is a dirty, inappropriate show. If you have kids, I do a clean show called KIFF. There's another cartoon that your kids can watch, K-I-F-F. But I'll tell you, this is a real cliffhanger show, podcast right now happening, because what if we just never say how I got the part?
Yeah, I know.
We just pretend to get
we could
to
just
it.
Move
we
on.
Get to it.
Yeah.
We've done that before.
Dan Stevens? Or Dan Steele?
Steele, I thought.
Well, Dan Stevens is like the most beautiful man on the planet.
Like this?
Like Steele, like the lumberjack?
Did I say his name wrong?
Dan, he was like Beauty and the Beast, right?
He's Scratch, I've been calling this guy the wrong name. What?
Steely Dan?
Stevens.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's on Downton.
Yeah, but I thought his name was Dan Steele this whole time.
Oh, no.
We were actually saving you.
Yeah. If you would have met him and been like, Dan Steele.
Yeah, he'd be
like, I'm like, I heard
I'm your
you
biggest
on the Northern Nerd podcast.
I mean, yeah. Okay, to my defense, I'm going to come to my defense here. I'm coming to my own defense. I have not... Downton Abbey has been years and years and years since it's been
on. When you said
on.
Dan Steele, I was like, I think he might be an adult performer.
Yeah,
maybe?
Right.
Oh, please.
I also now love this that much more because I have a crush on Dan Stevens because I rewatched Legion just recently.
He's in that too?
He is Legion. Like, he's the lead character in the show.
What?
Oh, it's so good. And him and Aubrey Plaza on that are just like wildly good.
So
I think I've wrecked that like multiple
wait,
times.
That, like, yeah. Dan Stevens is in a show called Legion?
Mm-hmm. It's a Marvel like show about an FX.
But it's a US show then, huh?
Right.
See, I don't know it. I don't know.
You only
but
watch
now
British
I
trash.
Horrible. I'm leaving and I feel so sad I've been calling him the wrong name. I've been calling him the wrong name.
It's pretty fun though.
Yeah.
No, it guys
it does that it doesn't take anything away from
and,
no,
the, and
my love for Dan Steele yeah. Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's
you're that,
his name.
You're that close with him. Yeah.
The third.
I'm just. Dan. You don't know how much how sad I am.
Sounds like a wrestler.
I've been calling him the wrong
Dan,
name.
Dan Steele Stevens.
It, I can't. Like, okay, I was. Okay, I
cage
remember,
match.
Oh my god. I remember where I was the last episode of Downton Abbey. I was in New York City. I was in a sublet. I was in for about 2 months before going to the next sublet, and it was the year that the Vikings missed going to the Super Bowl by that kick. But
oh,
they
okay.
missed the
Gary Anderson.
97.
The
oh
no, it would have been
oh,
2016.
The other time,
oh,
the other time
oh.
that the Vikings
yes.
didn't
I was,
go to the
no,
Super Bowl.
No, they had to win another
oh,
game.
Oh yeah, all the yeah. time.
That was oh, the Seahawks one.
The Seahawks. It was. Yeah. I was oh. at that game. It was 20.
Blair Walsh.
It was 30 below Blair Walsh.
Oh mm-hmm. yes, it was Blair Walsh. Oh poor
yeah.
guy. And
I didn't care.
Downton,
I was just there to party.
Downton Abbey ended, and they missed that kick, and I know. People say I'm supposed to cheer for the Packers, but I cheer for both the Vikings and the Packers, and Tim hates it. My husband hates it. But
what's
I,
is he all Vikings?
No, he's all Packers.
He's all Packers.
He okay. grew up in Menominee, and we didn't.
Oh yeah, that's
you know over mm-hmm. Danbury and maybe
this
even
is kind of border country
get,
here. There's a lot of Vikings
get,
fans in this.
Yeah,
area.
Yeah. Well, because we only get the Duluth station.
Right, we
right.
don't get. Yeah. Well, you got Duluth. So you could see the right the Vikings.
I would
that's
say,
right. We only got Minnesota stations.
I would say
yeah,
half my
bad.
Friends
yeah.
growing up were Vikings fans, half were Packers.
Yeah,
like, it's,
mm-hmm.
it's
but
pretty,
now because everybody's got to have cable, everybody's like only cheering for one team, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But any okay, so,
I just think because it's a rivalry, people think you're like
weird
flip flopping or like not taking a stance, which I don't care. Like I'm like I root
thank
for,
you.
I'm like whatever. Like
thank
but
you.
I don't care enough about. Either.
I want everybody to do well, but I am totally deflated.
Just want
that
everyone to have fun.
Thank God we had this podcast, so
yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
go
we're
off.
We're here for you,
like,
Dan
Steele. Shoot!
But that's exciting because I was like, yeah. I don't know who this guy is, but now I know who that is, and I'm
well,
excited for
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Say
doing
hi.
A great
say
job.
Hi from
I can't even look at.
That's
I
the,
won't
that's
ever
gonna
talk.
Be the name of the episode. It's gonna be Dan Steele.
Well, Dan Steele, call him Dan Steele for sure. Yeah. Okay. So I gotta
Dan
tell
Steele
you,
episode.
You said he was in Legion, right? Yeah. So like the two guys that I do, the three guys, but they're. There's two other main cast members in Solar Opposites, and mm-hmm. they also have TV shows, and I didn't
right.
know it. We like recorded together and everything, and I remember Thomas from open mic days, like in
yeah,
you know 2006.
He's been in a lot. Tom
yeah.
Thomas Middle is it Middleditch?
Thomas Middleditch, Silicon Valley,
yeah,
all
yeah.
the Verizon
oh, yeah.
commercials.
Yep.
So oh,
I'm
okay.
like, I gave him a hug. I'm like, Thomas, how have you been? I had no idea when I saw him again for like the first time in over 10 years because I remember him from open mic in yeah. LA and I had no idea he had a TV show. And then Sean has a the Goldbergs on network mm-hmm. TV. Sean
yeah.
will never have mm-hmm. to work again if because
yeah.
network TV, you get really good royalties. Mm-hmm. So like Thomas will have to work, but Sean won't have to work if he doesn't
the
want
to. Residuals and everything
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
So have you performed at the Comedy Store in LA, or have you been to it?
I don't really go much to the
because I just watched the documentary on it. And I just
That was a good documentary.
Cool, and I just was it would be cool to see some like hear any perspective on it. Like
you've
been there, but
a lot of
it's just crazy.
You know, I don't want to wait.
It seems very different now.
Yeah,
with everything, but
I don't. It's like
pretty cool.
I don't want to wait and. It's kind of toxic. It used to be, it's maybe getting better, but it used to be just like only dudes and like, and then they would like, if you had a high voice, like I have, my voice used to be higher even. And so they'd be like, oh, sounds like you're just copying Maria Bamford. And then I would text Maria and be like, people said I was copying.
Yeah. Or,
and then like, you know, she's so nice. She would like stick up for me on even way back with MySpace, she would be like, Mary is her own unique person. And it's because people at that time, there wasn't as much streaming and they weren't aware of how people are around this area of the country. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us do have similar mannerisms because we are, I grew up 45 minutes apart from her, an hour apart. So it's like, my parents are from Duluth. It's like, yes, we're very similar.
There's going to be some correlation
we're
there.
So and similar. It's, you know, and so it's, I mean, just like me and you are similar in our mannerisms. Yeah. We're all because of our regionalism.
And it seems like it's more like maybe with the podcaster, but everyone goes on each other's and they try to help each other out and promote one another.
Oh, they are doing
where
that.
Where it used to be more competitive when you're trying to get literally a sitcom or get a Conan spot or whatever. Like it seemed, now it seems like it's more of a free market. Like everyone's just trying to.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Who knows?
I didn't spend too much time down there. Yeah. They have a fun room upstairs called the Belly Room, which was fun to go do a set at sometimes. But also in LA, it's like really hard. Even these giant clubs, they have a hard time getting audiences out.
People don't really care. Like it's really conducive to comedy. Just kind of.
You know, I think I just don't know. It's A, everything's very expensive. Everything's a half a day trip.
Yeah.
Even if you live in town. And it's just like, it's difficult for, it's just hard. And so they rely on like their five big stars to pull in all the money. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else just scrambles and it's really not any money in working there. So I used to do the improv a lot and then, I stopped doing the improv too because, I just didn't like it. I like the other improvs around the country, but it was always like toxic energy. And when you could go do like a really fun show at a bar, that's what I would do for stage time. So
awesome.
Yeah, but I don't know. I started in Nashville and then moved back to Minneapolis.
Was Zany's there when you were in Nashville?
Yes.
Or is that new?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So I hear that a lot. I'm a kind of a nerd, like some podcasts, but I always hear about Zanies, but
got a big long history.
Cause I want to go, cause I think I might be going to Nashville soon and I'm want to go see whoever's there.
Yeah, but, yeah, for sure. And the one in Chicago is really fun too. Yeah, the Zanies downtown is really fun. So, I feel like I'm talking more than
oh no, you're all good. You're a special guest. You're all good.
Yeah, you're killing it.
Sorry.
It's fun. It's fun to hear.
Yeah. And so we've been kind of talking about how comedy is kind of taking you all over the place. And what was it like being on like the Conan O'Brien show or Jimmy Fallon and things like that?
So like, those guys are both genuine people, like really nice people and really gracious, right? So like you learn so much. Like, I've done shows before where the host doesn't say, thank you so much for coming, and you did a great job. Those guys are so gracious, you know, and you'll do these little shows where they're so rude to you. And so, like, when I'm running a show, I try to make sure I say thank you and we appreciate you first thing off the bat when the acts come and to know that we're excited to have them there. Because so many people did not do that for me, and then I see these real successful people and they all do it and they all mean it.
Yeah.
And the thing about Conan is like he's a real genius. Because yeah. I asked, the second time I did the show, I asked for the monologue sheet so I could see what it was. Because it's a lot of words. So I'm like, how much, I mean, like, he just has six sentences down, the topic sentence for every bit. And then I know he has some on his monitor and then some he just memorizes or some he might add little funny things. Mm-hmm. But what's cool about his show is the show that the crowd sees live is the show that plays on TV.
Okay.
That's how good he is at it. And there's no, like, making your audience wait to re-record anything, which I think I've heard that Colbert does a lot of that, and he doesn't really like stand-up comedy. And I was starting to send them audition tapes, and then I realized that you don't even get to be on the show. They just, like, have a separate comedy show where they chop all the acts. They just film like 12 comics at once and then chop all their acts out.
It was like, just like a web series or?
No, and then they insert it into the broadcast. And I'm like,
without any context. Or
you don't even get to shake his hand. You're not a part of the history. Like, I feel like late shows, is the whole thing is being a part of a show. Like, you're like on the show and you're not even really on the show. So I was like, I kind of was like, maybe I'll try Fallon. And then that worked out. And yeah, that was really fun, and they treat you nice, and every dressing room has, like, a record player and records to pick from, yeah, it was really neat.
Was it, how many years ago were you on Fallon? Was that?
I did that this past December.
So it was the full Roots and Roots were there and all the whole thing?
They were such good laughers. They really laugh. They're really
Do you
nice.
Remember who else was on the show with you?
Yes, Miley Cyrus and the guy. There's a guy in Grey, Jesse. He's on Grey's Anatomy.
Oh my God.
I didn't know.
My girlfriend's
him.
Favorite show of all time.
Yeah, Jesse Williams. Maybe? Williams.
She's gonna be like James.
Yeah.
You should have known.
Do better. I've watched one.
Do better, James.
Yeah.
I should.
You know, but it was, and then you're just standing in the hallway with these people, and they're like, "Do you want to meet Miley Cyrus?" And I was like, "No, I can't meet Miley Cyrus. I don't remember my jokes," because I was like, "I gotta focus on my jokes." I was in bed for 2 weeks before that, and then I just like had COVID, and then my first setback was like Fallon.
Wow. So oh my gosh!
I was so shaken. Like I was like sick, right? Yeah. Like I couldn't. I was so congested, but I tested negative the day before, so I still got to do
it. What a rush that must have been.
Yeah, it was not the way to do it.
No, it can't be.
And I didn't want to reschedule, though, because you don't know if you'll ever get back on. So
right.
So I didn't want to do that, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of going back to, like, you talked about how you want to feel part of a show and everything like that. Is that kind of what inspired you to do the North Star Comedy Hour here in Hayward?
I had been doing this show for like 13 years.
Okay.
Smaller, like just like, you know, not necessarily just having a house band, sometimes a singer-songwriter, and never recorded it. And, you know, we do a big one at the holidays. So we do our extravaganza in Minneapolis somewhere. And I would go bonkers with those. And I always had like a meat raffle with it too. So it was like always a Midwestern themed show.
Yeah.
But I just was like thinking about it. And I was like, hosting a show like this really fits my skill set, having been a teacher and a musician and a comedian and a writer. And so I get to write sketches for it, and I get to be ridiculous. I get to interview people, and it's like if A Late Show and Prairie Home Companion and Red Green were all wound up together.
Yeah.
It's that kind of a format, and I just wanted to do it because I wanted to have a project closer to home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be living, well, I say soon, we'll see. I don't want to give up my Minnesota dump privileges like I was telling you. But soon be living back in northern Wisconsin, and it's some, I'm just kind of looking for a home venue. Mm-hmm. And in the park, everybody at the park theater has been so nice, and like they all pitch in together to get things done, and it's been mm-hmm. really fun to work with them. Whereas like some theaters, they aren't so open-minded, and I have Ian here to thank for that, because I don't think they would have let my show come in, and unless Ian would have convinced them to do it, because you had to explain to them.
Well, it kind of came in. It's been an interesting thing. I joined the park board about 2 years ago, just partially because it was, you know, we like my own experience with getting involved with it was that I love live music, live performances, and I just always appreciate what the park was doing here, and was sort of leaning towards getting more involved. And then COVID hit, and then it kind of just wholly crushed the entertainment industry, live performances for 2 years almost.
Yep.
And so then kind of coming out of that, it was like the park was, it was in a bit of a rough spot just because it's such a volunteer-run organization. There's no paid staff, mm-hmm. and which is hard on its own. But then to try to get people to come back to live performances, which, and up here, it's like it's an older area. It's an older demographic. Like, James Dalton and I, like, whenever we see, like, new young people that come to the area, we, like, shepherd them into a corner and be like, you're going to be our friends now.
Yeah, you have no choice. Yeah, come like, alongside us.
Yeah, you're under 40. You live here now. Like, come join us in this youth cult.
The youth cult.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But, and so many of the older people that support the theater were not coming or were like really cautious. So it was hard to get shows back going. They needed help. And so I just was like, well, I'll do whatever I can to just try and help out. And then now with a little, year and a half on, things had been kind of formalizing, getting things going. And then you reached out and it's like, this show could be really cool. But it was like, do we have enough organization ourselves as the theater to do this? And I think that was kind of the question. I don't think anyone was like really hesitant about the performance, but they were like, I don't know if we're capable. I don't know if we're up to the task. And I think actually having you reach out to us and be, credit to yourself as well for being a performer who wants to help make the show happen and not just be like, here's what you all need to do. And I'm not going to do anything. Right. I'm just going to sit back here. Like, you've helped make this happen. But I think that was
the parade, Ian.
You were in the parade. I know.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's huge.
The Muskie Parade.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good.
So it all worked well. The timing was good, I think, because I think that having your shows has helped us grow also as an organization to have these things. It shows us what's possible of like, here's what we can do. So
like two of the people I had contacted about doing my show there went ahead and like booked their own shows there before they were. I'm like, wait a second, I have to be on my show. But I think it only helped actually get people to notice them to be on
my because David's gonna be David Huckfeldt.
That was
gonna be
just
coming
an
back.
Accident, I think. Yeah, he's coming back though. He's got a two of my favorite
musicians. He plays all over the place though. I mean, he's in the Twin Cities. Amazing, like, all, he's quite a musician too.
He's bringing two of my favorite musicians, and I did a public radio show with this gal too one time, called Wits. Janie Winterbauer, and she can act, and she can. She can sit. She was in a band called The Suburbs. She's like a well-known
legendary
musician.
Like Twin Cities band.
She's coming to sing with him and Jeremy Ilvesacker, who is like one of the best guitar players in the Midwest. And he is like, they are just amazing. And then I'll have the house band. And then I got a guy coming from Kansas City, who his name is Madison Ward, and he's a singer-songwriter, and he's performed on David Letterman, and he's been on the Today Show performing, and like, I'm so happy that all these talented people want to come up here. I just wish they could stay longer. Like, everybody's got to leave, and I'm like, can you just take an extra day and like go fishing? Like, I don't feel like you can really appreciate the area unless you take a day off to see it.
And I think you've mentioned that too before, of like getting performers to come to the area. And I think I've noticed this, like before we opened the Whistle Punk here, my wife and I got our start working in the craft beer industry in the Twin Cities, and working with breweries and beer reps and people in the industry that are nationally well known. It was easy to get them because everyone's in town. But then up here, to get people to like come up, and we've been able to do that to bring, we just had like the Lagunitas Midwest sales team here like a month ago. Nice. But a big part of it is because that same thing. Like, it's like, I know this isn't convenient necessarily. It's kind of on the way, but like make a vacation out of it. Like yeah. use this mm-hmm. opportunity to come up here and yeah, yep. go fishing or just hang out at a cabin, yep. you know, unplug for a bit and yeah. sit by the lake.
Yeah. Truly experience the Northwoods and right. all it's meant to be and not just yeah. having like it be another show and then moving on to a different town.
Yeah. I feel like Hayward has this like bonus thing too where you can say like, oh, you know, where the Birkebeiner, they do the Birkebeiner, and then like, oh, I've heard of that, I gotta see that place. Yeah.
Right.
So, and then, you know, the mountain bike trails and all that, it's like yeah, popular. So.
And like we were talking, like you're like referencing like Big Top and like the acts they get, and it's like, well, yeah. we can compete with that if we figure something out, yeah. right? Like
or work yeah. with it.
Or work know? With yeah, it, just or like, just not compete with it, but like have yeah. the same kind of...
I mean, well, and like, you know, Bloodhook was filmed here, which yeah. I'm very curious. Kind of yeah. We haven't had a chance to digest.
Oh, yeah,
that.
We got to unpack that.
One of the most fun nights of my life was going to Bloodhook. You're featured prominently, Ian, in the... I did a thing for Drink Wisconsin Bleed for content for them for the Muskie Festival. And... I got, in fact, I came and I filmed you on stage too. You didn't even know that.
Okay. The guy.
And then, so like you're interviewed and they show the costume contest in their video that's going to come out about Hayward Muskie Fest. And, awesome. And so that's a great plug for the park too. That night was so fun. It was a blast.
Was that your first time seeing Bloodhook?
Yeah. And I'm like, how did I not see Bloodhook when I know, when I,
there's
like,
a lot of locals that haven't.
So, I used to see, like, I made a point to watch, like, Coven and American Movie and all that. And, like, you know, it's like, how did I not? I just don't understand. It was so cool how you guys had the director and the and the, one of the actors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part of the night was it, doing heckling during the movie. Loon Lady and doing the loon calls. And then, when the actor... At intermission, he got up and talked at intermission, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he talked about this one line that was so hard for him to get.
Yeah.
And Well, I forgot what the line was.
Well, it's great because it was a...
I like that.
Yeah, because it's a line that gets recycled. There's like a few lines that get recycled. The one Bev D, the one, his love interest there says, I like that. And then he sees her with another guy and he, I like that. Like that, and he said he kept doing it over and over because the lighting wasn't right or whatever wasn't right.
Like
so then when he did it, he mentioned it, and then when he did it in the movie, like shortly after, everyone just like erupted, like cheering and clapping.
That was the moment.
One guy heckled him and goes, nailed it!
Yeah, nailed it. That was the best part.
It was so fun. It was just a blast. So you think you guys are going to show it every year then?
Yeah.
We were just talking about this last night. And I mean, well, there's just a lot of, there's a lot of different little parts to incorporate all these fun little bits. And the director and producer, Jim Mallon, who is the director, who went on to be like one of the people who created Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh.
That's what I heard was the vibe of the showing was that.
Yeah, it was. And it's really funny that it's become that way because it's almost like a meta reference. Like here you now have him who like his character was one of the characters on there that was, you know, punished by watching these B horror movies. And then here it is. This is the one he created. And here we are watching it and kind of critiquing it and talking trash.
I feel like I might have met Jim before because I wouldn't be surprised. People from
because he was involved with like Minnesota Public Television. I think that's how they got the show started because he's from Rochester.
Yeah, I knew that name sounded familiar. And you know who's back in the cities too is Mary Jo Peel. I forgot what character she was on there, but
oh yeah, I remember
so
that
she
name.
She goes out does comedy. Based out of the cities,
but
again,
they're like the director and producer. They're like just into it. They loved it, and I think part of it is they get to see this thing they created, kind of appreciated now. Because I don't know that ever probably got the.
It was kind of cool.
I don't think it really got a major release necessarily, and if it did, I don't know that people. There's a weird nostalgia now in this time for the 80s and the 90s, and it just seems to hit. And then it's Hayward, and it's very iconic Hayward stuff, so it has a. There's a sense of local pride and appreciation, and it's just ridiculous, too.
The trivia contest you guys did when you, like, played screenshots, name this lake, name the resort, name the location or whatever. It was really so much fun. It was one of the funnest things I've ever done in my life, I think. And it definitely is Hayward's version of, like, Madison and New York, they do Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's got that kind of vibe, totally. but it's distinctly Hayward. So we'll have to get you involved next year.
I already know my costume.
Oh, good. All right.
I'm not telling you.
Okay. Don't give it away.
Yeah. I have to go to the thrift store, and I actually am going to go on YouTube and see if I can find this outfit again, or to see if I can see the scene again. Nice. So.
I'm going
to
make my prediction. You don't have to say it, but I'm calling Loon Lady.
Ooh.
Is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Can't Ashley's going you. Full Bev D next year. She was like kind of there for Bev D this year. Next
halfway
year she's
in,
like full.
Dipping the toe
she's
in.
She's going to get every piece exactly.
Your
correct.
Shirt was like the same pattern.
Right. Yeah.
How did you get that shirt the same pattern?
I was
pattern?
Able to find it. Like I just.
Yeah,
you know,
that was a good find.
I did a little homework and just, I don't know, just dug it up on the internet.
Yeah, that was really good. Really good. So, but I'll be back again. Is it always the third?
It'll always be Muskie Fest.
Yeah, just Muskie
weekend,
Fest. So it's
like
usually
that
like
Saturday.
The third weekend in June-ish.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. And then, please, people, please, please buy a ticket to July 29th and August 19th.
Right. Yes.
North
yeah,
Star
two more
Comedy
dates.
Hour
yeah.
at the Park Center, 7:30 p.m. You can be to bed by 10.
But show up early and drink heavily.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. People are whooping it up. They're having the featured. Oh, my gosh. Guess who's going to sponsor the bar? The featured drink. Do you know Tattersall?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I
they're
reached out to
part
them.
Of Berkey.
Nice.
I mean, that's, like, really good, really, really high. I mean,
yeah.
like, it's quality booze. Like, mm-hmm. they're going to. But okay, so what? Maybe your listeners could come up with a funny. So we. For Mom's Day, we wanted to do mimosas. Father's Day, I got overruled.
Okay.
They stuck with old fashions.
Mm-hmm.
And now we need one for July 29th, like a funny one.
Okay.
And
it'll be right after Lumberjack.
I'm drinking some of Ian's stuff now.
Yeah.
Now that
this
I sobered up on
this is the after hours privileges
happy.
Right
we
here.
We need a Tattersall.
Yeah.
Cocktail for
yeah, so it'll be a Tattersall, either their vodka or gin.
Okay.
And it'll be either G&T or like I wanted to do a Harvey Wallbanger.
Okay.
But because that's a funny name, that could be the drink and the guest.
Uh-huh.
But I there's a Galliano is like this liqueur that mm-hmm. it would just bring the price up too much, I believe.
Oh, okay.
It's this so I'm trying to think of what other funny drink. And we thought Bloody Mary because I'm like, well, that's my birthday week. I'm going to name a drink after myself. But nobody drinks Bloody Marys at night.
I know a few teachers that do.
Really?
Shout out to the second grade team.
People that drink Bloody Marys. I bartended for 10 years. And
James is not like those
people.
The
night Bloody Mary people, I'm like...
It's so weird.
It's like you don't actually
like
drink. You just
it's a breakfast drink.
So
someone
when
dragged you here.
Thank
yeah.
you. Oh my gosh! Yeah. Is it a cider?
No, it's beer.
Strawberry rhubarb beer. You heard
there
it first.
You go.
Yeah.
You heard it right here
yeah.
from the Northern Nerd.
And it's
yes.
from New Glarus, from Wisconsin, and yeah. it tastes like pie. It tastes like strawberry rhubarb pie.
And it tastes like pie, and it's from the Whistlepunk stocks it. Mmm.
Got our beer
oh
Rex.
Oh my. What the heck? That's so much better than cider.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What's so the company?
New Glarus.
New Glarus is
yeah.
selling strawberry rhubarb? Yeah. Oh, jeez.
They're like one of the
game
best fruit beer producers like
wow.
in the world.
Wow.
Like for sure in the United States.
Because there's two ladies running it.
Yep.
And they're good cooks. They have the
got something going
down.
On. Yeah.
Man.
And James sells it.
Yeah.
Yep. His company, that's who I buy it from.
What's your company called?
Lee Beverage.
Lee Beverage.
They're out of Eau Claire. Our office, but they're in Rothschild and Oshkosh too. But
oh wow.
They're just a beer distributor. But
oh mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
But New Glarus is kind of our main thing up here, so
yeah, I got to write well and I put a New Glarus joke in the sketch and the last show and people liked it
oh,
a lot.
Oh yeah. Do you wanna do it?
Oh, it was,
I missed
no,
it.
It
I
was in
there.
The sketch. It doesn't make sense. So in the sketch, it was all about, it was like an inside look at the town board meeting for planning the Muskie Parade.
Mm.
Mm.
And the DNR was going to be which ranger was it? Oh, I forgot. He was going to be the Grand Marshal and he was going to gonna ride the musky shirtless down Main Street, but the premise of this sketch was that they wanted to make it a kinder, gentler musky fest because the teeth were scaring people. The teeth on the musky were frightening, and people were getting hurt taking selfies too close to the teeth. And then they eventually were trying to get it to be like a sucker festival.
Nice.
And it's because there's no, it's just a that's the participation ribbon of fish,
right,
according to that DNR
the
agent.
Bait.
Yeah, yeah. So and then the DNR agent kind of has a change of heart, and he started, well, maybe if it's like a spotted sucker, because that's a real type of sucker. And then my character goes, spotted sucker, they make that beer in New Glarus. And so like that was a long way to get to the
nice.
Yeah.
To get to the punchline. But it was fun.
Yeah.
It was really fun to do all those Wisconsin jokes.
We just had one of our customers here from the shop just did a wedding vow, like a wedding renewal in the ceremony in the mouth of the big muskie, just like last week.
Oh,
wow.
Cool.
Yeah, Mike and Karen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he officiated this like vow renewal like in like while they're open and like people are trying to like walk up and go to them, and they're doing this like wedding ceremony.
That's awesome. Don't mind us.
Right.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And she was into it.
Yeah, they were both into it.
Could you not?
Right.
I could see some people being like,
see all the
you're
haters
like, this
there.
Yeah.
This is where?
Right.
Yes, right here. Overlook the city.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. And did we even tell people that I'm going back in? This is how my horrible brain works, is that I'm like OCD with the details. Now, did we even tell people that Solar Opposites was a cartoon?
I think so.
Know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's on Hulu.
Yep.
Right.
And...
Oh,
yeah.
we were talking.
Is there two seasons?
We just finished recording season 5, and then the writer's strike happened, and now we're not recording. And I don't know how that's going. I've
right,
just
how that
not
all
been
works.
Listening
right.
to anything.
That, it first dropped in 2020, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, during the pandemic. Yes. Because that helped us actually, because
right,
people
were
binging everything.
Yeah, they're looking for something to watch.
So that got me another. Got me 6 years of health insurance so far.
Nice.
I mean, like, I hopefully the contract will. Oh my gosh! Knock on wood. Knock on wood. Okay. Yeah. But yeah.
We've kind of talked about it. I've watched through, I think, the first two seasons now. It's a wild show. I mean, I think when the sort of the adult cartoon or adult animated series, when they started coming out through Cartoon Network with Adult Swim, like Aqua Teen Hunger Force,
yes.
and like mm-hmm. when that started coming out, like
I
which
was on that show too.
I was gonna say,
yeah,
I
yeah.
saw.
I had some other ones that I'll talk about them after this.
I mean, just like I think early on, it just seemed targeted towards just like the straight like stoner crowd. Like
yes.
it was very much just like mm-hmm. we know you're high and you're watching this show.
Yeah.
And then it's expanded, like BoJack Horseman and like a bunch of these other shows that are just a way of using the animation, kind of like what South Park did too, of mm-hmm. like using animation as a way of like creating a lens of being able to like create satire and do things you couldn't do with live action.
For sure.
Test more boundaries and like get more jokes off. Because
right.
You're gonna be mad at the cartoon character, or whatever.
Right. Just, it's not a person.
There's more freedom. It seems like.
And it feels like you can get the casting like for the people who are in this, looking through the cast list of Solar Opposites is like fairly star-studded. I mean, the people who have, even if it's just a solo appearance, like Jane Lynch and Sterling K. Brown and Rob, I think Rob Riggle, I think, is on there too. There's just like a
ton. I thought Kaylee Cuoco did do a spot on there.
She may have.
And that season that show might not have come out yet because I kind of blur them all together.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't come out yet. So.
Yeah.
But it is good. And the one comedy stand-up comedy gal who does like a million movies a year now, I forgot her name. She plays the ship. She's
yeah.
She's just like the busiest comedian in the United States. I can't. Her name is escaping me, but
so clear that was kind of the question that we were talking about. Like, clearly, you don't get to like work. Like, how is it, especially with the post pandemic? Like,
yeah,
creating a lot of recording.
Yeah, before pandemic, we would do some stuff together with Justin and Thomas and Sean and me, but never with the guest stars.
They would just record that somewhere else and send it in.
Yeah. We all go into this one studio. We used to go into, it's called like Snap Bang Wiz or something. They use one studio and then there's three locations and they alternate. But then the pandemic, another thing it did was gave me a lot of freedom because I don't have to go to LA. I used to have to be in LA to do that. Now they let me do it out of Minneapolis, and I almost tricked Randy in Hayward into doing it for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you need a lot of tech stuff, or I could maybe see if Austin, the new sound guy, that comes to the park, he'd have the equipment. But it's like sometimes you gotta watch a video. They have to I have them in either a Zoom call or whatever on my headphones, and they can direct me from the headphones, and they sometimes have to play a video for me, so it's a few back and forth.
So you can kind of see the context.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always animated to our voices, and then when it's time to redo something, then they'll show us a video and be like, okay, you got to match this tempo, but say this, you know. So it's a little. It can be a little more tech than people want to have to know how to do, I guess, is the thing. But
so do you, like, when you watch episodes, do you really have any clue how it's going to come together?
I read the whole script.
So you do. A lot of people.
But I don't know how it's going to look, really.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting.
Are you excited to watch it, or are you just kind of like,
it's so fast. I like slow things. I like Antiques Roadshow. And I like slow shows.
Yeah.
So when I watch that show, it's hard on my brain. It's hard for me to sleep, or I can't watch it at night because it's too fast for me. Normal people are fine with it, but normal people also like watch the ID channel, you know, like murders.
I can't watch that.
I know, I can't watch that stuff. So when I do watch them, and I have to hurry up and binge a bunch before next week, but I forget I'm in the show, and I just start watching the show like it's a show.
Yeah.
And then but I do want to say something that I wish that they would let me. I always tell them, you know, you might want me to do some of these lines quieter. I always try to get them to let me do more emotional range.
Uh-huh.
And they mostly just want me to yell and swear. And I'm like, oh, man, I mean, like, it's every year they're like, every cartoon gets to put somebody up for a Emmy, and they're nice enough and they put me up for a thing, but I don't ever get nominated because I have to do something bigger or better than just yelling and swearing. And that'd be like my dream to accidentally get nominated for an Emmy.
Because
one day was like how I got the audition and the show was, well, I had this, company, and they don't ever send me out for any auditions either, so I don't know why I still am with the company, but one day I was like, well, the comedy booker books me some clubs, so he's nice, but and he's like a friend, so but nobody else ever sends me out for anything. So I was like, you know, you guys have a voiceover division here. And I used to be on Fox as the lead character in a cartoon. Because I like, you're so busy doing stand-up, traveling around the country. It's like, oh, yeah, I used to have I was a lead character in a cartoon called Golan the Insatiable.
Yeah.
Which my part and the other lead person's part got given to Aubrey Plaza and Rob Riggle, I believe.
Oh, really?
And it's because Fox got a new entertainment director that year, but that show didn't even make it through a full season because the show takes place in Minnesota, and neither of them sounded like it, and they didn't get, they didn't, the humor was like not the same as what they act normally, and there was just like a chemistry between me and this other guy from Minnesota that we could really do it well together, and then they actually had to take a computer and pitch Aubrey Plaza's voice up to match my voice.
Weird.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it wasn't like,
that's so
why
weird
not save many thousands of dollars and just let me keep doing the part? Well, but yeah, but, and also we were the reason why it advanced to the second season, and they gave him a primo slot next to The Simpsons, and then they lost the show because it wasn't the right combo of people.
Right.
And so it's like, you know, it just, so I remembered that I did that show. And like, I had that show on and it was really fun. And then I'm like, hey, maybe I could do more cartoons. And so they, just to get rid of me, they were like, yeah, whatever. Here's a script. Have fun. Yeah. And I didn't even have like a studio or anything to go into. I just like recorded it into my iPhone, and I recently found that audition. I went back and listened, and it was so bad and it was so distorted. And I was yelling, distorted, and it didn't. I can't even believe I got a call back. So I got a call back, and I went in and read in the studio, and they gave me the part. But that's how I got it, just by being like, hey, can I just audition for something? And they didn't think I would get anything.
And they just threw you a random, so you didn't even know. You didn't like.
I had no idea. I just got this little script to read, and then I was so, I was thinking, oh man, that I'm gonna be able to change my voice. They're gonna want me to do some weird voice if I'm gonna play an alien. And then
and they're like,
just use your regular voice. That's the worst. That feels like an insult, you know. But
yeah.
But what they think is funny, the writers think it's funny, and the producers all think it's funny, is that there's already two people with very distinct voices from where they're from. Like Sean's voice is very Chicago, and my voice is very upper Midwest.
And then one you were saying was Tiffany Haddish.
Yes, that's Tiffany Haddish. But so
she's got. Hear a voice, you know who that is.
Yes, yeah. Tiffany had it. Yeah, she's very busy lady, man.
Yeah.
But what's going to be cool now is there's going to be a Chicago voice, which is his own iconic sound. And then there's going to be like the Minnesota, Wisconsin accent. And now we're going to have this British accent.
Dan Steele, baby.
Dan Steele.
He's coming in.
Guys, he's going to steal your heart.
There's going to be a real sagging moment in this podcast when I learned that I've been saying his name wrong this year. But it's only been this year because I haven't thought about, I really haven't thought about him since Downton Abbey has been off, and I was such a big fan, and now I'm like, my God, I'm gonna be sitting next to him.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not gonna talk to him at all. I'm just gonna like,
I think a good icebreaker is like, hey, I used to think your name was Dan Steele.
Yeah.
just started.
You're all good.
And I'm a big fan of, and then like mess up like
Downtown Abbey.
Yeah.
Downtown, like, or I think you say Downtown Abbey wrong.
Like, I think we've referenced that on a podcast before, like Downtown Abbey, and how it's like a whole different approach to
that
what the show might
take
be like.
Tim and I used to goof. We wanted Downtown Abbey to be like, hi, I'm Downtown Abbey.
Yeah,
like,
right.
She's like this 1940s.
She's like a gangster or something like that. Like she's like running the streets.
Totally.
Look out for Downtown Abbey.
Right.
She's like a gremlin. You're like, don't feed her after midnight. Like,
Downtown Abbey.
Yeah. She's a problem.
She hangs outside the mock.
Oh, man. So, yeah, anyway, that's a long roundabout story. So then I did Golden the Insatiable, and then I got to do one guest appearance, and it was so fun. I played Zaffy Zeeble on Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and that guy, Mike, the director, was so cool. They're out of Georgia, out of Atlanta, because when I was 19 or whatever, when was it? Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Oh, yeah.
Was like the coolest cartoon. I I couldn't believe how cool, and they had Space Ghost, Coast to Coast had their own music album, and it was Brack singing like, just like country, heavy metal country songs. I'm like screaming. And then I was like, that's made in Atlanta. And I thought it was just the coolest. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of like in that same, I think even some of the producers are the same and might even be a similar production company, or they all know each other. But yeah, so like that show is a really cool show, Aquatine Hunger Force.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And I could be mistaken. Is that the one where it's like there's like a can of, or it's like a fountain pop and like
different shake. fast food items
just talking crazy? Okay,
yes. Into the guy with the tank top.
Yeah.
It's like
what a crazy show.
Yeah, it is. It's really clever though.
So
you got
like all the base you've been in. Like that's awesome. Man. What a career.
Cartoons. Yeah.
So awesome.
Man. It's been fun. So
what a wild ride.
I feel like I'm more appreciative of it now, being 10 years older than my first cartoon I got to do. Now I appreciate it more and realize how lucky I was to be able to do them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the end of this story.
Are you like all comedians and you hate compliments? Like are you like, no, don't talk about me, or are you good with them?
I don't know. Maybe so. Maybe Midwesterners don't like compliments.
Right. I think it might just be a Midwest thing. Too, but you're like, but, no, it's not too much trouble.
You're like, don't. It's no big deal. But awesome. That's so cool to hear the whole story.
Yeah. Sorry for talking so much.
That is the whole. That is the whole point of the podcast.
We'd be
do
mad
not
if
worry.
You
this is a
talking,
win.
Be like, can you tell us about that? Yeah, that's good. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah.
You don't want to like. You want to hear us talk? We got nothing to talk about. We're just gonna complain about stoplights and.
Oh man! Well.
Yeah, we talk about It's like it's all like riffing.
Yeah riff. Pretty much.
So, do you want? Should we do a quick Rex?
We should do Rex.
Yeah. Quick Rex.
This is so good.
This could be your beer
Rex.
Beer.
Yeah.
I don't know what grains are used in here, but this is the amount that I can have without being too worried about getting a gluten rash.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So perfect amount, and it was so good. So my recommendation is New Glarus Strawberry Rhubarb Beer. New Glarus, please be our green room sponsor sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And send us some of that beer.
You should shoot a promo for him. Like, I don't know what grains are in this, but it doesn't make me itch and want to die.
I'm not
so
in
this beer didn't give me a rash.
It's a green. You're like...
Like you could be on a billboard. It'd be like Mary Mac. Well, I like rash New Glarus. It doesn't give me rashes.
Really, there must be a lot of fruit in here because
there is. Yeah.
If I drink a beer with a high gluten content, mm-hmm. I immediately get a splitting headache.
Oh wow!
So it's a great like alarm system. But I didn't get any headache, and I drank this little taste sample. So
must not chalk
be
it up
as
high as a W.
As other beers.
Wow. Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, I have to talk to the brewmaster. I'll have to go knock
on
their door.
We'll get Dan Carey on the podcast
we'll get Dan.
Next time.
Is that the brewmaster?
Yeah. Dan and his wife Deb are the owners of the company.
Let's ask him.
Deb runs things. Dan brews the beer.
Oh, neat. Well, I want to ask what grains are in here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can usually do rye or barley, but never wheat.
Okay.
Yeah, probably not any wheat in there.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, it's fruit. Well, probably mostly fruit.
Yeah. What are you guys recommending?
Oh snap! I'll do a TV show recommendation. I've really been into this sketch comedy show. I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah,
with Tim Robinson. On Netflix.
Oh, I would love that.
He yells a bit much for me, but he's the funniest guy. Like, so funny.
It's the seasons are super short. It's like 6 episodes per season, and probably like I don't know anywhere between like 15 and 20 minute episodes, but it's just a bunch of sketch comedy stuff. And I just find it hilarious. Cause it's just so off the wall. Like there was this one sketch he did where, he was in the drive through, at a fast food restaurant and he was going to do like this pay it forward thing where he was like, I'll pay for the car behind me kind of deal and try to get it going.
Yeah.
And so he did that. And then he like races around the drive-through, and
cuts off
the car that's ahead of him is up now, and he's
cuts
like,
off, he literally cuts off the car that's trying to pull it. He's like, I gotta get in here.
I got something important to do. And so he gets to back to like the ordering spot, and he's like, I'll take 55 cheeseburgers, 55 hot dogs, 55, and like just rattles off all this stuff because like he thinks the next guy's gonna pay it forward and pay for his meal
and their bills
to the guy behind him. And it's really funny.
It's like the most meme, like the all the memes are like that show now.
Very memeable.
Yeah.
What's
guy.
Streaming? What's stream?
Netflix.
It's on Netflix. And it's I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah.
He was on SNL for, I think he was. I don't think he got on air a lot, but he was a writer, and he left, and then he just started his own thing, and it got huge, and now he has
so
like
two Tim Robinsons.
It's Tim Robinson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's yep, Tim Robinson.
Don't trust me. I've been wrong.
You're
before.
Not thinking of Keith Robinson, right?
But Tony Robinson.
Yeah.
Tony Robbins.
No. Dan Steele.
Here's to you,
there's
Mrs.
Another
Robinson.
Tim Robinson. I'm going to look this up.
Okay.
I think you'd recognize him, probably.
Yeah. But it's a good show. So that's my rec.
Cool. I can go rapid fire. I got a few. I wrote them down. But I know I don't know if you're going to elaborate on it, but The Bear Season 2.
Is that the chef one?
Yeah.
Oh god, that was too fast for me.
That's an adrenaline rush.
Yeah, it's like doing drugs. It's like watching. It's like doing like speed.
I totally
like,
get that.
Yeah, it's not. I guess if you can't like, I have anxiety like heavy.
Yeah.
And it gives me anxiety, but I like that it does that to me because I'm like, this isn't.
Right,
this is
someone
really
else
well done.
Is going through it, sort
yeah.
of.
Yeah,
like,
I can.
It's not me. I'm not making the cheesesteaks.
You get to the point where I like want to turn it off because I'm so stressed.
Yeah.
But I'm like, anything that can do that to you is awesome. Like, it's not like
if it has
it's
the ability
not mindless
to
reality.
The switch.
Yeah, I'm like, this
yeah, it's
is
very
awesome.
Engaging.
Mm-hmm. And the second season's better than the first, I would say. And the first season was one of my favorite shows. I would highly recommend that. The music soundtrack's insane.
Yeah, it's
if you're into food,
music really
it's
well.
The most well done. Listen to David Chang, the chef. I listened to a podcast and he was like, "This is the most accurate,
thing like
I've
a
ever
realistic
seen.
Representation of what it's like to be in a kitchen."
Yeah, and he's like the goat for like food. But if you ever watched NPR Tiny Desk, one of my favorite things ever.
Yep.
Watch the Juvenile episode. Just came out.
Okay.
Doesn't make any sense. Juvenile, Tiny Desk, wonderful. And then last one, Tom Segura, Sledgehammer, Netflix.
His new special. I still got to watch that, yeah.
Huge fan. Good. And yeah, and Poppy. It's a probiotic soda.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Cool.
Absolutely delicious.
Wow, nice.
It tastes like real pop, but low sugar, full of probiotics.
But it's not kombucha.
It's not kombucha. Right. It's probiotic soda, but it's got probably fake sugar and all that stuff to make it low calorie and but delicious and probiotics. Better than it tastes just like the real thing. So.
Cool.
Nice.
That's Rex.
James is Rex.
Nice.
Ian.
Yeah, I mean this is like happened the last year when The Bear had came out. We did a triple rec because we were all like we all loved it and kind of fawned over it. So yeah, we. Ashley and I just watched the second, which is fun because we don't get a lot of shows that we watch together because like our tastes in TV are fairly different. Like, you know, Ashley tends to, I've said this before, but all entertainment is categorized into happy or scary.
Yeah, me
too.
And
scary just means anything that isn't happy.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, right.
I tell her I get it.
Yeah.
The bear is so scary to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But she's worked in restaurants and like we have our business and stuff like that. So there's like, there's something about that. I think it's also just so well done. And I don't know, there's character development. That's a huge thing for her to glom onto in a show. If the character, like, so she, we also watch like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I love that show.
We enjoy it, but she just gets so frustrated because there's no character progression ever. They're still the same shitty people that they have been. I mean, in terms of like their behavior, like they don't improve.
Type.
Right.
It's
that's the only way. Like, and I agree. Like, I can see her side, but that's the only way the show works. Is
no,
that
like, I agree. Yeah, because then it would be over. You know, it's just like all of a sudden. You know, I just watched the new season of that just came out, and which is also a bit of a wreck. But like Charlie discovers, or they find out like there are other rooms in Charlie's apartment. Like. he and Frank didn't have to be sharing a bed for years. He's like, what do you have this whole room? He's like, what do I live in a castle? Like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I thought that was a previous season. That's in the new season?
Yeah, I think
it's play,
I didn't even know it was still
they call
on?
It like earthworms, the game, the crawlers or whatever.
Oh yeah, the, in the
so
bed.
So gross. So gross.
It's so disgusting. But there's different type of character development and that's like they're making fun of that the whole time.
Right.
Because of how horrible it is, but they you think there's going to be character development.
Right,
and then
or it does happen
it.
In little bits, and then it goes backwards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I loved in the bear one like a sneaky thing and on the music side of things that I noticed. There's like several Counting Crows songs.
The Counting Crows drop was crazy.
Which are they're cool, and I noticed in the first season there was also because we went. So Ashley had only seen the end of the first season. She only saw the last episode.
Really?
And then she just watched the whole second season with me. And then so she was kind of not understanding all the background. I said, we need to rewatch and then start. So then we just rewatched the whole first season.
When Ricky has his shining moment and takes the reins.
Yeah,
it's not really
a
spoiler. But right. Pearl Jam Animal playing, like that energy in the kitchen and that song. Like I was like, and just the character development.
Yeah.
They took each main character and gave them an episode where they had a solo kind of like
focused
mostly on them.
And it was so beautiful and like calm. And then they threw them all back together and then just threw like chaos at you.
Yeah.
But you cared about all of them so much. The stakes were so high because they earned it because you spent the,
yes.
you know, their backstory now. And
well, because it wasn't a stressful season until like six.
Right. Not
it was kind of a beautiful season. It was kind of a beautiful season. And then like the end, there's like, all right, here you go.
Yeah, because I told a couple of people like to watch it, and they're like, I watched the first episode, and I was like, and I go, I get it, like honestly, because it starts right in of just like, it's panicky, it's like, it's just
but
tough, and there's lots of yelling and stuff, but then it's really cool.
Can I comment on absolutely. Always Sunny?
Yeah.
Character development doesn't necessarily mean improvement.
Sure.
Or bettering yourself.
I should say, like, what she's looking at is like personal growth of like seeing the person kind of evolve
learn,
or become, learn from their past behavior.
Right.
And that,
but yeah.
That's not the point of the show.
They double down. They double down and go, don't learn.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the
reason. They do something five times worse.
That's why it's funny because
they're
so
like, great.
They fall for the same things and they fall in the same traps.
Yeah.
Like, and you're like, you know it's going to happen, but how is it going to happen?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's always the craziest reason why.
Oh my God, yeah. It's so funny. I cut you off, Ian, but...
No, it's okay.
I think I might have to hop in my little horse and...
Yeah, I think that's all I've really got. I've been listening to a little bit of the new Fall Out Boy album.
Oh, I liked it. It's kind of a...
It's sort of
throwback.
It's new, old. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It kind of because I really dug early Fall Out Boy, and then just kind of they seem to get maybe a little more poppy. But then I don't know. I'm just a sucker for Patrick Stump's voice. I just think he's got a crazy
one. Some Fall Out Boy songs.
Sugar, We're Going Down.
That's how does it? Can you hum it?
Oh, we've sung on this podcast before.
We have.
Maybe we've had a couple more beers in us, but
for there,
yeah,
we might have stage fright.
I need to remind myself. I know I've
listen to it on the way home.
Who sings what?
Listen to it on the way home.
Oh,
it starts off.
Coming to the door.
So, yeah, but I get what you're saying, Ian. It's kind of like throwback to their earlier stuff.
Yeah,
and.
And you're going to see them in concert this week, right?
On Thursday.
Yeah.
In Somerset.
Oh. Unfortunately going to miss it, but
is that what's it called, the festival they have there? Is it
Well they're just doing shows in Somerset, I guess. Lion Nation took over the booking.
They had like a festival for a while.
Yeah. I think it was Outlaw Festival or something like that.
They had one when I was a kid and it was really popular and I cannot remember did they have Lollapalooza there sometimes? It was called Lollapalooza. You guys are too young to know of this.
Well, I mean,
that was
I know
Chicago,
the one in Chicago,
right?
But
Chicago, maybe
Lollapalooza was Chicago.
They had something else then.
I'm not sure.
I get everything. You guys are aware that I get everything hot culture mixed up. I don't know.
No, but it should be a fun show.
All right, so what are your recs, Mary?
The beer.
And just where can we see you, and what do you have coming up? Can you let the people know, please?
Northstar Comedy Hour, third pitch.
Yes.
July 29th. Please see marymaccomedy.com. Can I just put that right up front? Can we just edit this to put...
I'll put it in the show intro.
Immediately. Just ignore Dalton's title. Just go right to marymaccomedy.com.
Yeah. Yes.
But it gives you the Hayward shows for the 29th of July and the 19th of August. And there's some very fun people coming out. And I dare you to find another show north of Highway 8 where five people on the show have multiple television credits. So, you know, I stand behind it, and I'm terrified of not selling tickets because it's summer. People like to fish.
Yeah.
And I have a panic attack every night about not selling tickets, and still I keep doing it. So,
can you purchase tickets at the Whistle Pump?
Yeah, we have tickets.
Ottawa Woods, maybe, here. I think, sells them.
Redberry Books
Thank
and Cable.
You, so
you can get them at the obviously, you just pop
the
by the Park Center.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Park Center. But, well, they're
and
not
the,
open.
They're not open during
the day,
but Art Beat still, or do they
no,
still
it's
some stuff?
The three of us.
Whistle Punk, Ottawa Woods Winery.
James is sending you to some random locations.
You can stop by my house. I can get
you
three for 20.
James is selling them. Part of his
I got
beer
bootleg.
Truck.
I got bootleg.
Bootleg copy.
Yeah, but you know, just go on theparkcenter.com or marymaccomedy.com.
Yeah, go on the website.
Yep. Yeah. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedule
you
to come hang out with
fantastic.
Us and be on the show.
This is so fun. That was a nice talk. I haven't gotten that. Kind of felt like a nice social time for me.
It's kind of what good. It is. Like it's sort of the goal to catch the lightning in the bottle of just sort of the conversational chit chat time.
And where do I find just look up Northern Nerd?
Yeah, just on Facebook and Instagram,
Spotify.
Yeah, Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Okay, and
for
I
listening
so
to
you
the
advertising
show.
The podcast mm-hmm.
On
the podcast.
Yeah, listen
so
to the podcast.
Here's where you can find us if you haven't already found us because you're listening to it already.
Well, you know, if you have a website, they might not have known about your website. They might only know about your find you on Apple or something.
True.
What's your mailing address?
So check out the northernnerd.com. Yes.
Right. We need a spot for fan
Here's
mail.
My
we need a spot for the fan mail for people who are writing and letters.
Well, I do have a PO box, so
yeah, there
I mean
you go.
That works.
Throw that out.
Drop the PO box.
What is it?
PO box 126, Hayward, Wisconsin. You can address that to the Northern Nerd.
There you go.
And Dalton's about to have a baby, so
send cash,
baby clothes.
Cash. If I get just cash in the mail for no reason, I'm gonna be a little worried.
He deserves
but,
it. He's a wonderful human.
Well, thank you.
So. Please send Dalton baby money. Please.
Baby money.
Please.
Listen to Mary.
Yes.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast. Feel free to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on Apple Music and Spotify Music so you know when our latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast is coming out. That about does it for us, so continue to be kind to one another, and we'll see you around town.